Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 66.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. We had Tamlin in our Facebook group ask recently. You've both mentioned that you've travelled quite a bit, and I thought maybe you could talk about some experiences and how you go about planning travel versus being in the moment in a new experience. And so today, Kelly and I are going to talk travel. So Kelly, first up, where have you been?
All right. So for me, the bulk of my traveling has been either triathlon or running related. So if I didn't do those two sports, I probably wouldn't have left Perth. But yeah, so I've raced in pretty much every state on the east coast of Australia, except Canberra. So Canberra, I never made it there.
Are you going to do the Canberra one though?
Oh, the ACT.
Famous,
ACT. Oh yeah. It just never worked with my schedule, and I just call Canberra state. I mean the ACT. But yeah, I never made it there for whatever reason, but I've done quite a lot of races in Queensland, particularly Mooloolaba, which is one of my very favourite places ever. Several in New South Wales and Victoria, and I've even raced in Tasmania. Shout out to Tasmania.
Oh, wow.
I've
just got a weird question. So do you find it really different running in different climates? Like, are you better running in Queensland or in Tasmania where it's a bit colder?
Oh, no, I'm definitely not great in cold climates. So I tend to avoid races where it's going to be cold, but Tassie in summer is quite warm. And actually, like, it might be like 20 degrees in Tassie, but I don't know if it's an ozone layer or lack of ozone layer thing, but the intensity of the sun in Tassie is quite sharp. And I think it's the same in New Zealand. Yeah. So even though it might in theory be 20 degrees, like, it's quite intense, the sun. So yeah. And interestingly, like, I've raced all over Australia. I've raced in Southeast Asia in quite humid climates. The most suffocated I ever felt in a race, because like most of my racing is in Perth, right, where it's a very dry heat. So, you know, because triathlon races are in summer and you'll be running along and you throw a cup of water over your head to cool you down because the water hits your head and then it evaporates and you feel better. And I remember doing this race in Foster in New South Wales, and New South Wales humidity, like, I don't know what it is. It's very different to even Queensland humidity, I find. And I've raced quite far north in Queensland. I've raced in Yeppoon. But yeah, I remember distinctly doing this race and I was running along and I was hot and I was like, oh yeah, I'll grab a cup of water and I'll throw it over myself because that will cool me down. And I threw this cup of water over and then it just settled over me like a blanket, and it did not evaporate at all, and it was awful. So that's the hottest and most suffocated I've ever felt in a race. But as a rule, if it's hot, I'm not too fazed. If it's cold, I probably wouldn't choose to do that race because I do get – I did the Paris Marathon and it was 5 degrees, and what happened was I was running along and I had arm warmers on and I got warm, and I was like, okay, once you're warm running, you generally stay warm. Except then we ran into a park on one side of Paris, and in parks, the temperature usually drops quite noticeably.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. And so I got into this park and I was running along, and then I fully got hypothermic and ended up bloody walking a very large chunk of the Paris Marathon, which was quite annoying.
Oh,
so everyone's
no.
like, oh, well, you know, if you're going to walk in a marathon, you know, you want it to be in Paris. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's nice. But the thing is, I'd given Aunt and my parents a schedule of when I thought I would pass through various checkpoints. And I had just seen them at a checkpoint and passed through it exactly on time. So they all then made their way to the finish line, and they were sitting there waiting for me to finish. And I finished like a solid half an hour after estimated. So yeah, so that kind of taught me that, yeah, cold weather, no good for me. So yeah, so most of the places I've traveled are hot. Yeah, so overseas, I've been to Canada a couple of times, Calgary and Montreal specifically. Calgary, like, I went, my auntie lives there, so we went there in winter. And again, like, I just can't cope with cold. And I remember, like, we went to Calgary Olympic Park once. No matter, it didn't matter how warmly I dressed. Like, so we walked from the car park to the inside of Calgary Olympic Park. Everybody else went outside and they were doing, like, you know, snowboarding and stuff. Like, I couldn't get warm inside enough to be able to go outside again. It was so ridiculous. So, yes, I avoid cold places. But I have to shout out to Canadians because I love Canadians because I reckon for whatever reason they are the closest to Aussies in the world.
I totally agree.
Don't you agree? Like, even more, you would think like New Zealanders would be closest, but I just find Canadians have that kind of same sarcastic humor, that chilled out attitude, that, you know, she'll be right kind of attitude.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's quite weird, isn't it? And then, yeah, in the US, I've been to Florida and New York and Connecticut. And I thought I'd been other places in the US, but I actually haven't. And something that most people don't know about me is that I was actually born on the Caribbean island of Trinidad and Tobago. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Oh, well, there you go. Yes. My parents' families on both sides are from there. And most of my dad's very large family is still there. So I lived there till I was 9, and that was when we moved to Australia.
So are you an Australian citizen, or do you have dual citizenship?
Yeah. I have got dual citizenship because I have competed for Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, at 2 Commonwealth Games, actually at Melbourne and at Manchester. So obviously I've been to the UK, I've been to London, I've been to Manchester. And then we went to Europe just before we had babies. Like, I had that whole like, oh my God, like, we have to do this Europe. Mm-hmm. If we're going to have babies, we've got to do a Europe trip first because it will never happen after we have babies. So it was like one of those last ditch type things. So Aunt and I did a tour of Europe with my parents. We did France, the Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, Austria, Italy, Switzerland on one of those kind of like bus tour type things. And so that was a really intense way to experience all those countries. But now we know where we want to go back to, and that is Germany. And we know that we find Italy really difficult with the kind of chaotic, non-linear way that they go about things. Like, we
are you referring to Italy. Italian time?
Just Italian everything. Like, everything is so laissez-faire, and we just, you know, the way that they line up, the way that everything is done over there, we just, like, we could not deal with it. We are far too much like judge types to do with that.
See, I was fine with that because I wasn't doing anything when I was in Italy. If I had to function and work and properly things, that would be different. But when I was in Italy, I was just hanging out. So I was like, it's fine if this is going to take 3 hours because I'm, you know, outside the Colosseum and it's beautiful. And you can also drink wine on the street. So I just did a lot of that. I'd be like, oh, I have to wait 3 hours for a thing. Let's get some wine.
Maybe that's where we went wrong. We were like, no, like, this is a line, and why are you pushing in front of us? And why is there a line to get a token to then go and line up to then get your coffee to then go line up to get your sugar or something? Like, well, why are there 3 lines? And then because Ant's very tall, like, people would just push in front of him and no one could make eye contact with him, so therefore he was invisible. So he just, yeah, he couldn't deal. So closer to home, I've traveled and raced a bit in Southeast Asia, so Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia, and the Philippines. And I actually had no idea that I had traveled that much, especially given I find travel very challenging because a lot of the management of my anxiety relies on routines. So there you go. I've been very, very lucky, and I didn't even realize it, and I feel a bit overprivileged. Where have you been?
I've also been to lots of places. So I tagged along to the UK when I was about 19 and visited some friends of mine at the end of their gap year. So I did London and France and Ireland.
And just quickly on that, do you know, did like everybody you know do a year in the UK?
Most of the people I know did because I went to a Catholic girls' school, and that was just very ingrained in our culture. It's just a thing that girls do, and you apply to go to gap years in London and do. So for any of our overseas listeners, particularly the Americans, who think it's very funny the way I say Adidas. Oh, and that reminds me. Are you guys ready? Aluminium. That's how we say aluminium. We don't say aluminum. Oh, actually, I heard a really funny one the other day. Sorry, guys, I've totally gone off topic. But I was listening to a murder podcast yesterday. It's called The Unresolved Podcast, and it's by a guy who is from America, and his accent's very, very strong, but he's quite obsessed with Australian murders because we have great murders. Like, we've got really good murderers here. And he was, and he pronounced Bondi as Bondi.
Oh no. Oh dear.
It was very funny. Yeah. So it's a thing that we do in Australia. When you're in year 12, generally your school will have some sort of a relationship. I'm pretty sure this is a Catholic or private school thing. I don't know if too many people that went to public schools that did this, but you apply through your school and they set you up with a school in England or the UK. So somewhere, the one that I went to was in Oxford. And yeah, they set you up and you go and live there for a year and you basically live there for free and you will do a couple of hours of work a day, maybe supervising kids when they're having dinner, or you'll do some sort of classroom support, that kind of thing. So I didn't do that because I thought that sounded awful. So I just went for the last month of the people the year below me because I was quite good friends with those people and it was really good. And I got to go to, yeah, France and visited some family and did a paddy wagon tour of Ireland, which was awesome. And then my first proper trip as an adult, I went to New Zealand with Ben, and we'd been together for 1 year at that stage. We'd been together for 11 years. So that was very early on. And that was incredible. We just hired a camper van and drove from the top of New Zealand down to the bottom. And I honestly
That would be amazing.
It was unbelievable. I have loved every trip I've ever been on. And this is my biggest tip with travel ever. I have never regretted travel ever.
No.
So just like for every negative thing that I've ever said about a trip, I have never, ever regretted going on a trip ever. But the New Zealand trip that we went on, I still think is my favorite after, and I've been overseas probably 15 times now, and New Zealand was just incredible. I have no words. It's just unbelievable. Then a few years later, I went to India with World Vision. So that was in 2011. And that was actually just one of the most life-changing experiences I've ever had. I actually nearly got a tattoo after that trip. Like, that's how that sounds like such an Australian bogan thing to do. Like, seriously, guys, like, I felt my feelings so deeply that I was going to tattoo them on myself. But I don't have a tattoo. And for me, that's how much this trip affected me. It was incredible. Then a few years later, we went to New York for 3 weeks, which was awesome. We were working for that because Ben had, we'd been working on an app that got released in New York. And that was just, yeah, that was incredible. New York is amazing. And then we went to Thailand on a holiday, which was awesome. Just kind of climbed a lot of waterfalls and drove around on Vespas and things, and that was great. I've been to Bali twice, but both of those were work trips. I went to Singapore. That was another work trip because I sometimes do trips for tourism boards, or I did a Bali yoga retreat once. So I've done lots of reporting trips. Last year was probably my biggest year of travel. I went to California, did the desert, San Diego, LA, Vegas. We also did a road trip through Death Valley, which is just an absolute must. And we ended up there for the super bloom, which was just extraordinary. And that happens kind of randomly and you don't know when it's going to happen. So you can't plan to be there for it. And no one knows how long it lasts for either. So that was really special. And then we did Europe last year with Ben's work, and we did Italy, France, Germany, Switzerland, and Copenhagen. And I'm actually off to Indonesia in 2 weeks with World Vision again. So I'm going to do some work with the rural communities with World Vision Indonesia. And then at the end of that trip, I'm going to Jakarta to do some training with the World Vision team to teach them how to do good social media things and work with influencers and stuff like that. So that's, I'm really looking forward to that. And when I'm doing that, Ben's going to be in Vietnam. He's going on a motorbiking holiday with my uncle, which sounds like it's going to be really fun. And our next two stops are Japan. We're planning on spending December and January in Japan this year. And there's a high possibility we'll end up living in Copenhagen next year. So
that's our
travel thing. And just a word on anxiety with travel. I am one of those people that has very high functioning anxiety. Like, I appear like I'm very chilled, but I'm actually not ever chilled ever. But for some reason, I don't get travel anxiety. I get plane anxiety. If I have to catch a plane, that freaks me out. But if I'm in a new place and going places and doing things and planning trips, I'm actually quite okay. So So yeah, that was just a really interesting, because I know that we have similar types of day-to-day anxiety. So it's interesting that yours spills over into travel and mine kind of dissipates with travel. It just goes away.
Yeah. Do you know what mine's largely built around is sleep? Like I'm such a sleep, so much relies on sleep, especially I think because so much of my traveling has been done related to sport. So like I need to know that the sleep environment is going to be good. And so I kind of get anxious until I see the sleep environment, know that I've got control over it, know that I'm going to be able to get good sleep in the nights leading up to a race, and then I'm okay. But yeah, there have been a few bad experiences in that regard, so that's the one that's really triggering for me.
Yeah,
also, you know, being on time for planes and stuff, like, you know, I'm the person that's at the airport 3 hours before.
Oh, that's like, straight up me as well.
And just quietly, that has worked out for me before, because once I got to the airport like 5 hours before, and lucky I did because I'd left my passport at home. So there you go.
Oh my god.
I don't know where I was going. It must have been Southeast Asia or something that I just didn't even think to. It was for a race. I think I was going to Kuala Lumpur to Malaysia, and I was like, just didn't even think that I needed my passport because it was just like right there. And then, got to the airport and they're like, where's your passport? And I'm like, OMG, I'll just go home and get it.
I feel the same way about New Zealand. I kind of feel weird that I have to take my passport to New Zealand. I'm like, really? Guys, come on. I can work here. Why do I need to show you my passport?
I can keep the doll here, can't I?
Like, yeah.
All right. So some of the questions we're going to cover, like the first one is planning travel versus being in the moment. And on this one, look, I'll say, look, we all know I'm a planner. And I do like everything to be booked before I get somewhere. And the very one time I decided to just go with the flow was when we went to Tasmania. And we went there for a race, and then we were going to have a little bit of a holiday afterwards, Ant and me, and then we were traveling with two friends. But what I didn't realize was that it was the January school holidays, and that meant like everywhere in Tassie was booked, like everywhere. So we wasted so much time literally driving from place to place and going in the front door and going, do you have anything available? The night before the triathlon, Ant and I slept in the meeting room of a motel.
Oh my God.
It wasn't ideal. And so this was the day before, you know, having internet on your phone. So at the time we were with Optus as well. So we had like no coverage in Tassie unless like you were underneath a mobile phone tower. So it was just ironic. Like it was the one time I'd gone like, yeah, no, I won't book anything and we'll just you know, I'll try something new. I'll go with the flow. And that cured me of that. I don't do that anymore. And the massive irony is like we actually end up getting engaged in Tassie.
Oh,
and
no way. Planned
this big proposal. And so we got engaged on Cradle Mountain. And it was hilarious because we couldn't tell anybody about it because neither of us had any coverage on our phone. So, so what do you like with planning, Carl?
I think my favorite thing about what you just said was the whole, well, I tried going with the flow once and it didn't work out, like as if people tell you constantly to go with the flow and you're like, no.
And here's why. Well, that's my go-to. Like whenever anyone says to me, just chill out, we'll find a place. And it's like, no, I did it one time and it didn't happen. So
do you want me to bring up Tasmania again? Because I will do it. So I also very much like to plan, but I'm also very go with the flow when I travel as well, which is quite unusual. So my partner and I have our basics down pat. We've traveled together extensively. And if it's just him and me in a car in any country, we're just totally stoked. We're not fussy. We'll stay anywhere, roadside hotels, Airbnbs, whatever. We often kind of book as we go along, which we quite like because then we can, you know, take a detour and go and stay in a hotel near the Super Bloom and see that in the desert. Or we can, you know, stay in Vegas for an extra night because there's someone playing there that we want to see, because you never quite know what the vibe of a place is until you get there. And another thing that we hate is booking a place and getting there and realizing it's shit and having to stay there for 6 nights. Phuket.
TripAdvisor is my friend.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Read the reviews, people. Read the reviews.
So that's the thing. And we don't like being trapped in places. So we actually, because when we got to Phuket, I think we were just in a really terrible area of Phuket, but we just kind of got there. It wasn't our vibe. It was very party-y and it was very, oh no, sorry, not Phuket, PP Island. in Thailand. Right. That was so, like, we got off the boat and there's this big, giant, like, concrete penis, like, in the sand. And there were just people. It was like 9 o'clock in the morning and people were just drunk everywhere. And we actually ended up not booking many nights there because someone had already warned us, but we were about to book 7 nights there. And it was actually my best mate. She was like, oh, I spent 7 nights on PP Island and I loved it. And she said, you won't. Don't.
So, right.
So it's all about, like, depending on what type of a holiday you want. Ben and I are not the type of people who are going to drink buckets of cocktails on a beach. So we got the hell out of there really quickly. But yeah, so we like that kind of flexibility of being able to make decisions quite quickly. And we're very in tune with each other and we can make decisions quite quickly. And we generally always want the same thing. So I think that if the person you're traveling with has different ideas of fun than you, or they have different things that they want to do, planning is your friend, because if you don't plan and you both end up in Bali. So a friend of mine actually travels with another girlfriend of hers, and this girlfriend of hers is very adventurous and wants to go snorkeling and go free diving and out on boats and things. And my friend wants to sit by a beach and read all day and then meet up for dinner and drinks with her friend at night. And they know this about each other. So they book their flights and hotel together and then they just go their separate ways during the day and then come together at night. And it's just perfect. So I think it's also really important when you're planning, particularly when you're traveling with other people, to just gauge what it is that they're into and see what it is that they want to do. And also realize you don't have to spend every second of every day together.
Yes.
It's perfectly fine to separate and go and do different things. I digress there.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny. I have to tell this story. So, so picture this. So aunt and my mum and my dad and me, and keep in mind that at this time, my dad was like 72 or 73, 72-ish. So we did this bus trip through all of Europe. And the very first night we went to Amsterdam and we stayed in Amsterdam and we got into the hotel at like 9 o'clock. And I was like, all right, I'm going to bed. And they were like, we're going into Amsterdam to experience a bit of the Amsterdam culture. And I was like, no worries, go for it. Anyway, I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Aunt's not back yet. And I'm like, OMG, text him. I'm like, where are you? And he's like, oh, I'm still here at the place where we're at. Your mum and dad have just left. They're on their way back. I'm like, mum and dad have just left? Like,
oh,
what?
God.
What the hell are you guys doing? So, yeah, mum and dad go back to the hotel. Like, didn't even bother. Like, dad had like 1 hour sleep. Mum just didn't even bother and went on her computer and did some work. Aunt got back at five, had an hour sleep or something. And then we were on the bus. And, like, they were just – and I was just like – wow. Okay. But do you know what? That was fine because I was like, you know what? I don't want this. Not my idea of fun is going into a smoky den and, you know, having drinks and whatever's at, you know, I want to go to bed. And they were fine with that. So, yeah, if you're going to choose your traveling companions to be people who, if you don't want to do what they do, they don't care. Like,
exactly.
And similarly, you have to be a person that doesn't care that your husband and parents going out till 3 o'clock in the morning doing who knows what, like whatever.
So my only issue with not planning things when I travel is that we had a bit of a disappointment when we were in Vegas. We managed to go to Vegas when there was not one single awesome show on, which I don't even know how we managed to do that. There was nothing.
How is that even possible?
So Seinfeld was on 2 days after we left, which I just still don't think Ben is over.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, he's coming to Australia, so that's helping. We've already got our tickets for that, so that's good.
Yes.
And also, I'm so sad because Cher just started her residency a few months later, and she is a goddess above all goddesses, and I am so sad that she was not playing when I was in Vegas. Not that I really could have done much to avoid that, but I'm just sad that my most favourite was not playing when I was there. I'm like, come
on,
Cher.
She would be amazing. She would be phenomenal.
Yeah. So we'll move on to any cool travel hacks. I've got a few that I go with. So I think the best thing to do is to get your travel capsule wardrobe sorted. So I've got a blog post, which will be live by the time this goes to air. not to air, by the time this gets published. I use all the wrong words with the...
Oh, I think go to air. Go to air? Podcast, yeah. Go to air. Yeah.
So I have a blog post which will be live by the time you guys are hearing this. It's about my capsule wardrobe that I take whenever I travel for a month. So it's 13 pieces and I can wear it in 30 degree heat and I can probably go down to about 1 or 2 degrees in this outfit. And there's only 13 pieces. It's basically 5 dresses and a couple of pairs of tights and 2 different pairs of shoes and a big jacket and like a cardigan, but it's all mapped out. And I can go overseas for a month with just carry on.
That is amazing.
Yeah. I was like, I was pausing.
Aspire to that.
I was pausing for you to praise me. I'm like, yeah. Tell me how good I am, Kelly.
Do you know what I was doing? I was making a note to self, buy tights. So I wasn't right on the microphone. Like, right, so the pause is a little bit longer than it was, than it needed to be.
I'm like, admire me, Kelly. Admire me. So my thing with luggage is that it literally weighs you down. And
yes.
When you're trying to get my favorite thing at airports, so Ben and I have our luggage down pat. We've each got a wheelie suitcase and we bought very expensive suitcases. My suitcase cost $300 and I do not regret that purchase for a second. It is this sounds like such a like privileged person thing to say, but the design of this thing is so beautiful. It never gets stuck on anything. It wheels beautifully. It never breaks. It fits all the things that it needs to fit in it. It's just beautiful. So I have my very expensive suitcase and this backpack that I absolutely love that fits just my laptop and a few bits and pieces that I need for the plane. And that's all I take overseas. One small suitcase and a small backpack, and we can book it through an airport really easily. Ben's got the same kit as well. And our favorite thing is to watch people at the airport struggle with 50,000 bags and like pillows and shit. And those, like, I'm going, what the hell are you doing? There are just so many awesome ways to downsize. So for instance, when you see people walking around with those big neck pillows, I'm like, why are you doing that to yourself? That thing is so cumbersome. They're trying to get through the airport security and they're handing it to their partner. And, you know, they've got, like, I've seen grown humans carry 2 teddy bears through if you need your teddy bear and you've got some sort of an emotional reason why you need to take it, that's fine. And if you're a kid, that's also fine. But if you just want it, just go without it for a couple of days. It's just you don't need to drag that shit on a plane overseas.
What is being apart makes the heart grow fonder. Take some time out from your teddy.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one thing that we do quite often. I'm going to get people yelling at me now for saying that they're not allowed to take their teddy bears overseas. If you want to take your teddy bear, take your teddy bear, but also don't complain about carrying too much shit through airport security. You get one or the other. So the other one is saving money. So this was a really cool trick that I'm pretty sure we invented. So I'd like to make sure that everyone knows that, you know, that this was us that came up with it. If you're hiring a car and driving around Europe, don't hire a car in France, drive all the way around Europe and come back to France and drop the car off, because that will cost you a shit ton of money. What you want to do is drive to the edge of France and then change cars to an Italian company and then drive through Italy. And then once you get to the edge of Italy, and I'm sure I'm getting my geography wrong as I'm saying this, and then do the same thing in Germany. We saved about $1,500 doing that. And Ben got to drive lots of cool different cars all around Europe, and we saved lots of money at the same time. So that's one of my favorite money-saving Europe travel hacks.
Nice. I've got a parenting travel hack, which is it's actually really specific to going to Bali, which sorry to anyone who doesn't live in Australia and doesn't frequently go to Bali. My sister booked nannies for us the last time we went to Bali as a family, and I was a bit like, really, a nanny? What are we going to do with a nanny? Like, are they just going to go everywhere with us? And it felt weird to me, even though I have a nanny at home. But it was the most amazing thing ever, because what that stopped was, when you go with your partner and your kids on a holiday, what do you do? It's just tag teaming the whole time. It's like, okay, aunt, you've got Jaden, he's over in that pool, I'm over here with Mia. And then, like, if one of you wants to go to have a sleep or he wants to go have a drink with someone, it's like, okay, you've got both the kids now. And you're just swapping back and forth, and you also can't help but point score a little bit. Like, I had the kids for 2 hours yesterday. And because it's the responsibility thing, like, even though you might not actively be doing anything with them, you're responsible for them. having the nanny meant that she was responsible for the kids. So even though we were there, she was responsible for keeping an eye on them, helping them if they wanted to go get a drink, or, you know, if I went back to the room at lunchtime most days with Mia, she'd have a sleep and I'd have a sleep, and then Aunt could do whatever he wanted without, you know, it's just the mental downtime. So if you have the opportunity to travel somewhere where you can get that kind of help, the mental downtime it gives you is amazing. Also, if you have the opportunity to travel with other families when you have kids, that too is amazing, because it means that you are not having to be your kid's playmate for the entire trip, which gets really tiring. We've done, Ant and I've done so many little mini breaks with the kids, which is always fun, but we're their playmates for the whole time. Whereas when we've traveled with family, like, the kids are just out of their mind with happiness because their cousins are there, and it just takes the pressure off everybody. So I have got heaps more little parenting travel hacks, but we could be here all day. And I wanted to ask, Carly, where haven't you been that you would like to go?
Number one is Japan. So that's happening this year. I just feel like Japanese people are my people. They're just so well organized and everything's in containers, and that just feel like that's my land. So that's definitely happening this year. And also, flights to Japan are so cheap at the moment. I saw ones for like $500 the other day. I'm so excited.
Oh, what?
Yeah, insane. I also want to do Canada and Iceland, and I also want to do more of Scandinavia as well. I really hate summer. Can you tell?
You and I, we would be on like opposite travel schedules. Like, I'm going for the sun and you are going for the snow.
I just want to sit in ice.
Although I'm super, super intrigued by Iceland. And now that you've said Scandinavia, I'm like, well, yeah, Scandinavia would be cool too. I really want to go to New Zealand.
Awesome.
It's crazy that I've not been to New Zealand. I was actually meant to go to New Zealand. Aunt's dad is from New Zealand and all his family is there. And when I was pregnant with Mia, we had a family trip booked. So it was me, Aunt Jaden, and Aunt's dad. We're going to New Zealand for a family reunion. Yeah, that's the right word, reunion. And I had just fallen pregnant with Mia, and I just went for this. And I'd had 4 miscarriages before that. So the doctor was kind of...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So this was kind of our last shot. And when we fell pregnant, I was like, well, we've got this trip to New Zealand booked, but hey, by the time it comes to go, like, either I'll have lost the baby or I'll still have the baby, you know.
Love how practical you are about that.
You just get very light. You don't get too attached to it after 4 miscarriages, I have to say. So anyway, I went to the doctor. I was about 9 weeks, 2 days before we were due to leave, just to have a very standard scan. And he was like, ooh, there's a bit of a bleed there. So I had what was called a subchorionic bleed. And he was like, well, yeah, you're not going on the plane. And I was like, what do you mean? And he says, I don't want you on a plane or in another country. And because I also had this bad habit of hemorrhaging during my DNCs when I had my miscarriages. So he was like, I don't want you on a plane having a massive hemorrhage because you've lost this baby and da, 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 da. So I was so devastated. I cried for like a day. But having said that, I think a large part of the reason that Mia kind of hung on is because Aunt and Jaden went off to New Zealand for 9 days and I went to my mum and dad's and put my feet up for 9 days. And yeah, as you all know, she made it. Great. But yeah, I never made it to New Zealand and I'm dying to go there because I know it's beautiful.
One of the things about New Zealand is that you absolutely must drive because the terrain changes so often and it's like you're driving through a billion different countries. So I drive from Melbourne to Canberra several times a year and it looks identical the entire time.
Exactly the same.
It's so boring.
Yeah. Like, hello, Australia.
Yeah, you actually have to read this the signs to figure out where you are. You're like, am I even still in the same state? Yep, no, still am 7 hours later. But like in New Zealand, you drive half an hour and you go from rainforest to like weird little desert areas to beach to forest. It's just like, it's an absolute
to mountains. Like, oh,
it's just, yeah. It's a feast for the senses.
Yeah. Oh, I'm dying to go there. So it will happen because we've got family there who haven't met me yet. I've also heard Japan's amazing. So I've just, so many people I know have been there and just absolutely loved it. Eastern European intrigues me as well. I wouldn't mind, doing Eastern Europe. And I really, really want to go back to Germany and specifically to Berlin and run the marathon in Berlin because Berlin, first of all, I have heard it's amazing, but also the marathon course is really fast there. So here's how I choose my holiday destinations. Where does it have a very fast marathon course? Bit different to how Carly chooses her holiday destinations.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Where is there sun? So where have you been that you have to go back to?
Definitely Copenhagen. So we went there last year and it's a very spiritual experience when you visit a place and you just know you're going to live there one day.
Yeah.
And we had that in Copenhagen last year. We actually had that about the suburb Fitzroy in Melbourne. Like years and years ago when I first visited Melbourne, I would have been 18 and I went to Fitzroy and I was like, I belong here. This is my... And it wasn't even Melbourne. It was specifically Fitzroy.
Fitzroy.
And I've lived there for about 7 years now. And I actually think that that will, as long as I can afford it, will be my base when I'm in Australia. But yeah, Copenhagen, we went there last year. We were only there for a few days, but we didn't panic because we just knew Copenhagen's in our future. That's a given.
So cool.
Also, New York and New Zealand, I want to go back and do again. New York, I just think that if you have the means, you should just kind of go to New York every couple of years because it has the best of everything that you want. If you're into comedy, New York's got the best comedy. If you're into fashion, New York has the best fashion. Whatever you want, New York has the best of it. And it's also a place where people hang out a lot. Like I always end up catching up with people I haven't seen in ages in New York. It's a real hub for life and stuff. And I just, it's very cliched, but New York is, the concrete jungle where dreams are made of. I would also really like to go back to India on my own terms. So when I went with World Vision, it was spectacular, but we worked nonstop for 10 hours every day. I slept for like a million years when I got back. But yeah, I'd love to go back to India. And I'd love to take Ben back as well because he's a photographer. And India is just out of control, beautiful. The colors are just the way that people dress over there is not like anything I've seen before. And I'm quite a follower of fashion and just the way these women wear these beautiful colors. And it's just, especially being from Melbourne where all of the buildings are really drab and everything's black and white and gray. And I quite like that minimalist aesthetic. But when you go to India, you're just like, wow, this is what you guys have got going on.
It's a visual feast, I've heard.
Mm.
Yeah, it's funny you talk about Copenhagen. It's almost like you just know like you're going to live there. I'm a bit like that with Dunsborough in Western Australia, in the southwest of WA.
You've spoken about that before.
Mm, it's just a place where when I go there, I just this thing just settles over me and I feel like I'm home. Mm. And yeah, so one of my best friends lives down there currently and it's turning into quite a busy little town. That said, if you live in a certain part of it, it's still very quiet and retains its kind of feel. And yeah, I just know that we are going to live down there at some stage, like in that region. I just know it. But insofar as going back to somewhere we'd like to go back to, I definitely want to go to New York with Ant because I've been there a few times now without him. And I just would love to experience it with him to show him, places that I've been. One of my great friends lives there as well. And I do think there's something really special about experiencing a city with someone who lives there. No, so that's what I love about New York is when I go there, I stay with my friend Tracy and it's just like, I can go walking the streets and I can find things and do little things myself, but I get to experience it with her. And, so she shows me the places to go that, locals go to, and it's just a different experience, I find.
And New York is made for people. Like, it's very well designed. You can get around easily and you can find things easily. And it's a grid. I love grid cities.
Yes. It's so easy to get. You just know where you are at all times. It's amazing. And then I want to go back. And Paris is definitely not a grid. It's definitely so easy to get lost there. And I know New York and Paris are such cliches, but I just do love those cities. Like, I remember before I did the marathon, I got there a couple of days early and probably not what you're supposed to be doing 2 days before a marathon, but I just walked and walked and walked by myself. It was great as I was there by myself for the first couple of days before and my parents got there. And it just was like my sense, if you're an aesthete, which I am, it's just overload because there's just beauty everywhere, beauty in the architecture, beauty in the art, beauty in just you come around a corner and it's something straight out of a painting, just some random, you know, side street with a tree and you're like, oh my God, look at that. Like, no wonder all these amazing artists lived here because everything's a canvas. Like, the whole city is a canvas. So I adored Paris and I'm dying to get back there. Yes. What about some, I think we're going to finish up with some money-saving travel tips.
I've just got a few really quick ones just to throw in there. Keep an eye on airline sales and just book tickets cheaply when you see them, even if it's a year in advance. You will make time for travel, but if you don't book it, you'll never go. So jump on those sales when you see them. If it's available to you, Airbnb your house while you're away. Ben and I do this. In fact, there's someone in our house right now. And it makes...
I wonder if they're using your scales. Did you hide them?
Oh, no.
You'll actually know.
We figured out a weird thing. We've got an air purifier in our house and it's automatic. So if you burn toast, it fires up and purifies the air. But it also fires up when we've noticed that it'll be completely neutral. And then we come home and because we're dirty, grubby humans, we fire it up. And so he actually didn't check in until a week after he booked and he hasn't said anything, but we know that he wasn't there for the first week that he booked and we can't really tell him that we know because he'll think we have like cameras or something. But yes, that was really interesting. So we've got all these weird little things in our house that we don't actually realize act as security cameras in our house. So
yeah,
interesting. Another thing is don't buy souvenirs unless it's something of quality that you'll really cherish. So tempting to buy crap.
Oh, so tempting.
Just don't do it. Also, make and pack your own food. So Ben and I do this pretty much exclusively when we travel. We went to Disneyland and we actually went to Whole Foods and stocked up on food that was really healthy, reasonably priced, and we kept it in a locker. We bought a few little bits and pieces, you know, as we walked around and Ben had one of those giant turkey legs. So but you're there for 18 hours. Like, it's a big day. Like, we went from the time it opened till the time it closed, but it was so worth it. We didn't have to wait in lines. It was heaps cheaper. We tend to pack our own food most of the time wherever we go. One last tip, travel alone. I've done it heaps of times and there is nothing more satisfying or soul healing than being on your own in a foreign country.
Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com. We also have an incredible Facebook group full of fellow self-improvement junkies. So if that's you too, come join us at facebook.com/groups/straightandcurly.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.
Jackrabbit FM.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck Pass.